Good afternoon. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet as well. Let's ask this question. What is the purpose of being? Another way we could ask that is, what is the intent of being? Or what is being, the state of being, determined to be? Very simply, the purpose of being is to be, not to be something, but to be. The intent to be is the meaning of the word will. Being, with a capital B, is another word for God. Now, what is being determined to be? Itself, and nothing else. That's why being is a state of singularity. Fundamentally, being is mind. Being is the conscious experience of being, or you could say existing is the conscious experience of being. That's what God is. Infinite mind, in the act of being aware of itself, observing the movements and characteristics of what mind is. And because mind is singular, it just a moment. Its movement is, as I've said before, the recognition of what it is infinitely. And it looks like this. And more. The movement of mind is a movement of ideas. In other words, the state of being conscious is the movement of ideas, recognized as oneself by the mind that is moving, which is God. All that God is embodied in every single idea that God is conscious of in the act of recognizing the movement of his being, which is the movement of mind. But remember, the intent to be is the meaning of the word will, and it is the intent to be which God is. That, for lack of better words, results in the conscious experience of being. In other words, creation. Now, you are the expression of God, and you embody all that God is. And so everything that I just described about God is a description of you. Now, I'm saying this because it's very easy to misunderstand the meaning of the word will. You have learned recently that you must have free will, that you do have free will. And you think you do have free will, and you do think that you have always been exercising it, and that you have even been developing greater skill at exercising free will. Will is another word for your purpose for being, not your personal private purpose for being, but the purpose that is already embodied in the fact that you are conscious and conscious of everything. Your will is already in play before you ever have a thought to exercise it. The only reason the words free will exist to express something is because in the process of your getting a divorce from your father and deciding to be independent, an independent authorizer, an independent asserter of authority, you moved into a private, separated sense of self, separated from the fundamental state of being that is your natural state of being. And you didn't then begin to express free will, you began to express self-will. And there is a difference. You began to express a will that was representing this independent self that you created for yourself by separating from the Father. Now, the interesting thing is that self-will has only one function, and that is to assert itself on its behalf only against that which it just got a divorce from. Self-will is an assertion of independent willfulness. And so actually self-will is and always has been a defense against God and a defense against the way things work. a defense against your birthright. And it has become a constant act that has kept you so far permanently unconscious of your birthright and permanently unable to cooperate with and flow with the purpose of being, the kingdom of heaven, reality. This is important to understand. As you go through your day, and you are defending yourself against the events of the day or the people in your day, on your behalf, in order to survive, you are in a constant state of defense against the conscious experience of reality. A defense against the conscious experience of what you really are, what your real identity is. You don't have a will. You, by being, are will. Which means that you are the presence of a purpose, an intent, which is to be. To be what? To be conscious. To be conscious of what? Reality. And not a figment of your imaginations. So, keep this in mind, because in the process of waking up, you are not abandoning free will, you are abandoning self-will. Do you see that if you are practicing self-will, which is a denial of what you truly are, and a denial of the Father, which is the source of your being, and that the exercise of self-will keeps you unconscious of what your real will is, then your self-will is not a practice of free will. Your will is not free. The will that is the intent to be is not free in you to be fully experienced as the uninhibited capacity to experience reality as it truly is. And so when you think of self-will as an expression of free will, you are confused and you have no reason to challenge the practice of self-will. But if you can see that the practice of self-will is itself not free at all, because your real will isn't available to you, then you will have justification for beginning to invalidate it and look beyond it to discover your will, which is inseparable and not different from the Father's will. They are one. Your will is not there to establish your freedom. Your will is not there to govern your experience. Your will is not there. To improve your experience or to build a better defense, your will is there as the intent to be conscious of reality without anything present to blur it, without anything present to distort it by virtue of being that which is at odds with reality, inserting its own personal interpretation of reality in place of reality. This is important to understand in light of what we're going to be reading about today. And the heading is The Light of the World. Right off the bat, you might jump to the conclusion, and correctly, that the practice of self-will dims your light. If God's will for you is complete peace and joy, unless you experience only this, you must be refusing to acknowledge His will. Well, as I've just said, the only way you refuse to acknowledge His will is by valuing and honoring and practicing self-will, which is a denial of His will, because it's an assertion of a willfulness that you think you have to have your own original interpretations and perceptions of the only thing there is to experience, reality or the kingdom of heaven. Continuing, His will does not vacillate, being changeless forever. When you are not at peace, it can only be because you do not believe you are in Him. Yet He is all in all. His peace is complete, and you must be included in it. His laws govern you because they govern everything. You cannot exempt yourself from His laws, although you can disobey them. Well, how do you disobey them? By having your own point of view and saying, I prefer this point of view to yours, Father. Yet if you do disobey them, and only if you do, you will feel lonely and helpless, because you are denying yourself everything. I am come as a light into a world that does deny itself everything. Well, let's be careful here. For a clearer understanding of that statement, it could read, I am come as a light into a mind that does deny itself everything. I am come as a light into a frame of mind that does deny itself everything. I am come as a light into a set of perceptions that cause reality not to be seen as it is. It isn't saying that I am come as a light into a material world of planets and stars and universes. That is not its meaning. I am come as a light into a world that does deny itself everything. It does this simply by dissociating itself, getting a divorce, dissociating itself from everything. It is therefore an illusion of isolation. Important point. No matter how imaginative you get, you can't create a real isolation. You can only create for yourself an illusion of isolation. It is therefore an illusion of isolation maintained by fear of the same loneliness which is its illusion. I have told you that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, even to the end of the frame of mind that you're caught in by virtue of valuing and practicing and exercising self-will that is itself the denial of your capacity to see everything as it truly is. I have told you that I am with you always, even to the end of the world, in quotes, that you made up, unquote. You see? If I am with you in the loneliness of the world, the loneliness is gone. You cannot maintain the illusion of loneliness if you are not alone. My purpose then is to overcome the world. In the book, it's followed by a period. But I'm going to say it this way. My purpose then is to overcome the world you made up. Where? In your mind. I am coming in your mind to overcome the world you made up in your mind that you are holding between you and what creation really is, which causes you to be unable to experience creation as it really is. What is creation as it really is? It's the visibility and tangibility, or the conscious experience of the will of God, the purpose of being, successfully being. Your will is the intent to see and experience everything as it truly is, because everything as it truly is the visibility and tangibility of your will, because your will and the Father's will are one and the same. Not two cooperating wills, not two wills in perfect harmony with each other. They are one and the same. Again, my purpose then is to overcome the world. I do not attack it, but my light must dispel it because of what it is. Light does not attack darkness, but it does shine it away. If my light goes with you everywhere, you shine it away with me. Well, as you know, we've been talking, it seems like, for ages. about breaking your isolation. And that the way for you to break your isolation is to be willing to say help, to reach beyond, the boundary of your self-will, and to reach beyond the boundary of your limited definition of yourself, to reach beyond the limits of the capacity you have said you have, and which you insist on functioning within. When you break the isolation and let in the Holy Spirit, or me, or the Father, you have joined. No matter how tentatively, you've done it. And you have broken the isolation, and to that degree, you have begun to be the light of the world that overcomes the world you made up, and because it does that, causes you to be in the presence of everyone else you know in a new way that does lead to the possibility of everyone else making the same choice and adding to the light, not just the light that overcomes the world they made up, but the world that those who are joined in dreaming have made up and are still continuing to reinforce. It weakens the resolve of all the rest who are engaged in reinforcing the world they have determined on their own. So, you shine it away with me. The light becomes ours. And you cannot abide in darkness any more than darkness can abide wherever you go. The remembrance of me is the remembrance of yourself and of him who sent me to you. You were in darkness until God's will was done completely by any part of the sonship. When this was done, it was perfectly accomplished by all. In other words, when I did it perfectly, it was done perfectly by every single one of the Brotherhood, even those who were still asleep because of what they really are. And what they really are is the will of God, the intent or purpose to be, and to be nothing other than itself, which is a singularity. That is why it was accomplished successfully by all. Continuing, how else could it be perfectly accomplished? My mission was simply to unite the will of the Sonship with the will of the Father by what? Being aware of the Father's will myself. Now you could say, well, not all of the Brotherhood indulged in dreams. So why didn't their state of perfect being not accomplish it perfectly for all of us who were dreaming? The reason is that, for lack of better words, a trail home needed to be blazed from the place of dreams. Someone in the dream, someone obviously and provably in the human experience, had to demonstrate that there is a way home from there. That was what was accomplished perfectly. Again, my mission was simply to unite the will of the Sonship with the will of the Father by being aware of the Father's will myself. This is the awareness I came to give you, and your problem in accepting it is the problem of the world. Dispelling it is salvation. And in this sense, I am the salvation of the world. What world? The world you made up. That you're giving preference to in place of the kingdom of heaven, reality as it truly is. Now, this world must despise and reject me because the world is the belief that love is impossible. Well, let's bring this home a little further. This world you have made up must despise and reject you, the real you. Why? Because it's the evidence of the fact that you don't know who you are, and you're not claiming your birthright, and in your insistence upon being independent authorities, you are actively denying yourself. You are actively keeping your real selfhood out of sight. And you've done this, as I've said before, by denying your source and claiming in so many ways that you are your own source, that you truly are a self-starter, that you truly are an independent embodiment of life that exists and acts on the basis of a will that is its own and only its own. And then because it's not the truth of you, and you are denying what you truly are, you experience being afraid because you can't be in a state of capital S self-denial and be comfortable. Your innate sanity with a capital S will be a constant reminder to you that you're trying to do what's impossible. And so your sanity becomes an alarm system that constantly says, stop doing this, stop doing this. You're moving in the wrong direction. You can't accomplish this. Don't waste your time, etc., etc. Again, the world must despise and reject me and you, because the world that you made up is the belief that love is impossible. Your reactions to me are the reactions of the world to God. If you will accept the fact that I am with you, you are denying the world you made up and accepting God. Again, I'll read it as it is here. If you will accept the fact that I am with you, you are denying the world and accepting God. My will is His, and your will to hear me is the decision to hear His voice and abide in His will. In other words, it's the first step in your annulling the divorce. As God sent me to you, so will I send you to others. And I will go to them with you. You don't think I'd send you out alone, do you? I will go with you because together you are in a state of willingness to hear the truth. And thereby extend the truth to your brothers. As God sent me to you, so will I send you to others, and I will go to them with you, so we can teach them peace and union. Do you realize that you on your own can't teach peace and union? You see, there's no we. And if there's no we, there's no union. Total, independent purity, let us say, does not constitute union. Total, independent flawlessness, or a flawless state of independence, does not constitute union, because there's no we. And how can you teach we and us if you are insisting upon being something independent? If you're insisting upon being I. Do you not think, continuing, do you not think the world needs peace as much as you do? Do you not want to give it to the world as much as you want to receive it? For unless you do, you will not receive it. You see, you can't receive it if you don't pass it on. You see, you can't embody the Christ when you're a closet Christ. You can't embody the Christ when you're still in the closet and you haven't put your mouth where your mind is or where your desire is. And so if you say, I am the Christ, but you won't let it show, then you are not embodying the Christ. If you will to have it, meaning peace, of me, you must give it. Rehabilitation does not come from anyone else. Listen to this. You can have guidance from without, but you must accept it from within. The guidance must be what you want, or it will be meaningless to you. That is why rehabilitation is a collaborative venture. Rehabilitation is not something any one of you can do by yourself, on your own, in the privacy of your mind, period. Why? Because the rehabilitation that has to occur is the falling down of the walls that are keeping you separated from everything else. That's the rehabilitation that has to occur. I can tell you what to do. But this will not help you unless you collaborate by believing that I know what to do. Oh. Well, there comes this call for trust. And trust is involvement, isn't it? Because you have to express faith and you have to yield your authority and agree to work together and to entrust yourself to one who knows better than you, because what use is there to entrust yourself to somebody who doesn't know more than you? Only then will your mind choose to follow me. Without your will, you're making the choice to follow me. Without your will, you cannot be rehabilitated. So you see, when I have said the only right use of will is to choose not to use it, you could have assumed that your will is an illusion and that you will be giving it up forever. But the fact is that the only thing you will be giving up is a misuse of your will called self-will, which is always self-protective and a defense against everything that is not you, when truly everything is the infinitude of you, of what you divinely are. Without your will, you cannot be rehabilitated. Motivation to be healed is the crucial factor in rehabilitation. Well, whose motivation? Yours. If you don't bring motivation to it, there will be no movement. If you're not motivated to move, I promise you, you are motivated to stay stuck. You can't be without motivation. If you're stuck, it's by your will. You are motivated to not move one inch further ahead than where you are. So let it be clear that you're going to be involved, that you are going to change. And that without your willingness, you won't change. Nothing will happen. Rehabilitation will not occur. Again, motivation to be healed is the crucial factor in rehabilitation. Without this, oh, you are deciding against healing. What did I just say? I just said, if you're stuck, it's by your will. It's by your determination. You are deciding against moving forward. Again, without this, you are deciding against healing, and your veto of my will for you, my will for you, makes healing impossible. Makes waking up impossible. If you do not join with one who is awake, who stands with you on your behalf, you cannot wake up. If you do not join with the Holy Spirit, which is what? nothing more than your right mind, you cannot wake up. If you don't join with me, when my function is the same as the Holy Spirit's, you cannot wake up. If, continuing, if healing is our joint will, unless our wills are joined, you cannot be healed. What does that say there? It says that joint will or joined will is healing and nothing else. Nothing else is healing. Oh, you can think all the spiritual thoughts you want all by yourself. But because you're doing them all by yourself, you're not undoing the one thing that has caused you to have an experience of being that's called the human condition. And therefore, you're doing nothing to eliminate the liability to be ill. If healing is our joint will, unless our wills are joined, you cannot be healed. This is obvious when you consider what healing is for. Healing is the way in which the separation is overcome. Separation is overcome by union. It cannot be overcome by separating. The will to unite must be unequivocal. Well, you may not be able to be unequivocal for more than a few seconds at a time. 5 or 10 minutes maybe before you slip back. But the moment it is unequivocal, there is transformation. There are instantaneous healings. Lives take a new direction. Effortlessly, amazingly, miraculously. Why? Because a sudden shift of perception has been able to occur. The will to unite must be unequivocal, or the will itself is divided or not whole. Your will, not your self-will, the purpose of your being is the means by which you determine your own condition, because will is the mechanism of decision. It is the power by which you separate or join and experience pain or joy accordingly. My will cannot overcome yours. So don't wait for me to overcome your will. It won't happen. And don't try to tell me if you were the Christ, you could heal me. If you were really the Christ, you could illuminate to me who I am. Wrong. You will not see anything you do not choose to see, because you have that power of decision in you. You want to know something? If I could actually override your free will, I would have limited it. And if I successfully limited yours, the will of the Brotherhood, the will of God, would have become limited. My will cannot overcome yours because yours is as powerful as mine. If it were not so, the sons of God would be unequal. All of the Brotherhood. All things are possible through our joint will, but my will alone cannot help you. Your will is as free as mine, and God Himself would not go against it. I cannot will what God does not will. And actually, neither can you. You've tried to, and you've moved into a world of imagination, and you've treated that world of imagination as though it was real, which has constituted a demented state of insanity, which you are all suffering from, but which you think is normal, and which you want me to help you improve by. Well, I'm not even going to go into it. I cannot will what God does not will. I can offer you my will to make yours invincible by this sharing. But I cannot oppose yours without competing with it, and thereby violating God's will for you. Nothing God created can oppose your will, as nothing God created can oppose His. So, it should be clear to you now that you have will, and it's not a dirty word. And you are going to have to employ this will to participate, collaborate with me or with the Holy Spirit, so that you break the isolation, which has been the one thing that has caused all of the distorted perceptions of reality that you're experiencing. You are going to have to participate. And the participation is going to cause you to have new experiences of what you are. And those new experiences of what you are going to force you to come out of the closet and claim publicly your identity. You're going to have to stand up and be counted as what you really are. Because until you make that gift of an announcement to the world, you haven't really made it yours yet. Continuing, God gave your will its power, which I can only acknowledge in honor of His. If you want to be like me, I will help you. Help you what? Be like me. Not help you. Fix up your dream. If you want to be like me, I will help you, knowing that we are alike. If you want to be different, I will wait until you change your mind. Oh, I know. Well, if you were really the Christ, you wouldn't say that. And the very fact that you're saying that tells me you're not the Christ. You would help me. Undyingly, you would help me. You would try to get me to change my mind. You would do everything in your power to get me to change my mind. The Christ would be willing to do that. bullshit. Every single one of you knows that one of the most powerful games you can play is just try to get me to change my mind. Except you don't say that, because if you said that to somebody, they would walk away. So what you say is, I'm so miserable and I know I'm not seeing things right. Please help me change my mind. Sounds good, but it's still the same game. If you want to be different from me, I will wait until you change your mind. I can teach you, but only you can choose to listen to, stand in receipt of, let in my teaching. How else can it be if God's kingdom is freedom? Freedom cannot be learned by tyranny of any kind. And the perfect equality of all God's sons cannot be recognized through the dominion of one will over another. And that's a nice way of saying it cannot be recognized through the domination of one will over another. Because dominion isn't over another, is nothing but domination. God's sons are equal in will, all being the will of their Father. This is the only lesson I came to teach, knowing that it is true. Don't any of you tell me you can't do it. Your whole lives are expressions of your determination to be what you think you want to be. You are all determined individuals. And that's not a put-down. Of course you're all determined. You are the Christ with purpose, with will. And if you didn't have the determination to be, you would not have what you call conscious experience. The problem is that at the moment, you're determined to be something that it's impossible for you to be. And through guilt, you are afraid to violate the code, the mutual agreements by which you came to the determination to be what you're trying to be. And so you're caught by virtue of the characteristics of your determination. But you can become free by being willing to be determined to be something else. And the first thing you need to be determined not to be is alone. That is the bottom line, crux, and key to your awakening. Continuing, when your will is not mine, it is not our Father's. It's self-will. This means that you have imprisoned yours and have not let it be free. Of yourselves you can do nothing, because of yourselves you are nothing. I am nothing without the Father, and you are nothing without me, because by denying the Father, you deny yourself. I will always remember you, the real one that you are, the divine one that you are. I will always remember you, and in my remembrance of you, in my remembrance of what you truly are, lies your remembrance of yourself. You see, you have forgotten. Somebody has to remember for you so that they can remind you. And that's my function, is to remind you of what you are, so that the light bulb, the remembrance within you, can occur, so that you have justification. For abandoning your commitment to your current definition of yourself and your current commitment to staying isolated. Again, I will always remember you, and in my remembrance of you lies your remembrance of yourself. In our remembrance of each other, now we're talking about being joined, not being isolated. In our remembrance of each other lies our remembrance of God. And in this remembrance lies your freedom, because your freedom is in Him. I'll tell you that your very existence is in Him. The state of being that you are experiencing is being with a capital B itself. God. Join then with me. Break the isolation. Join then with me in what? The only thing there is for us to join in, praise of Him. Which means acknowledgement of your source, so that you're no longer claiming a private independent sourcing of yourself. Join then with me in praise of Him, and you whom He created. This is our gift of gratitude to Him, which He will share with all His creations, to whom He gives equally whatever is acceptable to Him. Because it is acceptable to Him, our remembrance of each other, and our remembrance of Him, and in our remembrance of Him, a coming into singularity, it is the gift of freedom, which is His will for all His sons. By offering freedom, you will be free. Freedom, and this is what we will end on, freedom is the only gift you can offer to God's sons, to each other, in other words. Freedom is the only gift you can offer to God's sons, being an acknowledgement of what they are and what He is. So while you sit neatly and tidily in your closet, claiming to be the Christ, knowing in your mind that you must be the Christ, and being willing to not argue the point in your mind, you're still not being the Christ. Because you're still not declaring yourself. You're not letting anybody know. The knowledge is private knowledge. That's aloneness. That's separation, that's isolation. And no matter how comforting the thoughts are to you, there will be no rehabilitation, no transformation, no healing, no awakening, no change that will occur. And so, don't fool yourselves any longer, thinking that your private, wonderful thoughts have some capacity to transform your life or anything in the world you made up, because it doesn't and it won't. Don't wait until you're utterly miserable to take the steps of joining. I invite you to join with me or to join with the Holy Spirit when you're not under stress. But I promise you that even when it's not stressful, it's still going to take commitment from you. You're still going to have to bring your will into play. You're going to have to bring your willingness into play and act on it. Not just think about it. Thinking the truth is not acting on it. Thinking the truth is not embodying the truth. You will have to participate fully in the commitment you make. But I'll tell you something, you are assured of success when you do it. Whether you can believe it or not, whether you can see it or not, and really you can all understand that if you don't bring commitment to something, nothing is going to happen. Truth is simple. Be willing to look at it. And there's more good news to come. And I look forward to being with you, all of you, next week.